The following recording is copyright 2011, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
All of us who have made our first Holy Communion, we're taught that there are seven sacraments, and that these sacraments are outward signs instituted by Christ to give grace. I think y'all remember that, right? Well, then I ask you, how could baptism be instituted by Christ if John the Baptist was already out there baptizing people? And what about marriage? Weren't Jesus' own parents married? How can we say that marriage and baptism were instituted by Christ? The answer is that Jesus did not create the sacraments out of nothing. He took things people were already doing and then turned them into life-changing moments of encounter with God. Marriage at that time was like civil marriage today, a contract between two persons that the civil authorities could terminate by granting a civil divorce. What Jesus did was take ordinary marriage and turn it into a life-changing encounter with God, making it a covenant, not just a contract, a spiritual commitment, not just an agreement, between three people, the third party being God, and as such, having spiritual effects that come from God, which, if the marriage is valid, cannot be undone by any human being. In a similar way, dunking in water was a ritual of purification that already existed in Israel for 1,000 years before the time of John the Baptist. Married women were purified of their monthly period in water, and converts to Judaism were dunked prior to being circumcised. What John the Baptist did was take this ritual of physical purification and turn it into a ritual of spiritual purification, a ritual of repentance. But as we will see later, more was yet to come. Baptism did not become an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace until after Easter, when Jesus takes this ritual of spiritual purification now and turns it into the sacrament of rebirth that I and most of you received when we were infants, uniting us to Jesus in his death, so that we may also share in his resurrection, sharing his victory over sin, so purifying us of all actual sins and the effects of original sin, and giving us eternal life, a share in his victory over death. So what about the baptism of Jesus in today's gospel? Well, Jesus was sinless, so he didn't need John the Baptist's ritual of spiritual purification. He didn't need to repent of anything. But still, Jesus insists on being baptized for three reasons. First of all, in order to validate John the Baptist's ministry. John the Baptist was a controversial figure at the time. So Jesus wants to show that John the Baptist was for real, and affirming that God had, in fact, sent him to prepare the way for Jesus. And then secondly, Jesus is baptized, wants to be baptized, as an example to motivate others who definitely did need that purification of sin, definitely did need to repent of their sins. And thirdly, he uses this moment, this baptism, to give us our first glimpse of Jesus as the second person of the Blessed Trinity. The Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove, and a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Okay, the first revelation of the existence of the Trinity. And why is this important? Because after Jesus' resurrection, when he changes baptism to become now a sacrament of rebirth, it will be a covenant between the believer and all three persons of the Blessed Trinity. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So uniting us not just with Jesus, and thus a foretaste of which we have today in the day of Jesus' own baptism. And just as with marriage, the sacrament of baptism has spiritual effects that come from God and cannot be undone by any human being. That's why we say, once a Catholic, always a Catholic. And as such, you will be held to a higher standard than those who do not enjoy the advantages of our Catholic faith. You might be a bad Catholic or a fallen away Catholic, but you're still a Catholic, whether you end up going to heaven or not. So where are you in your spiritual life? John the Baptist warned people to repent of their sins and put their lives in order while there was still time. And repentance is not just a one-time event. Rather, it's just the beginning of a lifetime of progressive conversion, conforming our lives day by day ever more closely to that of Jesus, to live ever more fully and faithfully the new life which we began to live the day of our baptism.